Under the Golden Dome is supported by the Iowa Bankers Association and by Cultivating Compassion, the Dr. Richard Deming Foundation, fostering causes that enrich the community, generate understanding, and cultivate compassion, including above and beyond cancer.
From Iowa Public Radio News, this is Under the Golden Dome, a podcast about the legislative session. I'm John Pimple. COVID-19 vaccines became available in the middle of December. States determine how they are distributed.
With vaccines, I know that many Iowans are eager to be vaccinated and simply want to know when it will be their turn.
Many states are receiving fewer vaccine doses from the federal government than originally expected.
Iowa ranks 46th nationally in the amount of doses allocated to our state, near the very bottom of the list. In fact, we are currently receiving only 19,500 doses of vaccine each week.
That number is expected to increase to around 50,000 per week by the end of February. To be effectively vaccinated, a person requires two doses. Iowa has developed a rollout of who gets vaccinated in phases. Phase 1A is for healthcare personnel and residents of long-term care facilities. The Iowa Department of Public Health estimates it will require between 300,000 to 400,000 doses to complete Phase 1A.
With the 1A vaccination phase well underway, we believe that it's time to move into 1B and make the vaccine available to more Iowans.
This will allow Iowans aged 65 or older to qualify for a vaccine under Phase 1B. That's around 500,000 people. For people under the age of 65, there are five priority tiers. The first priority tier includes pre-kindergarten through grade 12 education staff, as well as first responders. In the second tier are frontline essential workers and food. Third is for government officials, including those that work in the Capitol. Fourth is for health inspectors. And fifth has correctional facility staff and those incarcerated.
This does not mean that we can open vaccination up to all Iowans, or even that vaccine will be immediately available to all of the groups that have been prioritized in Phase 1B.
The number of people in Phase 1A and 1B is more than 1 million.
But allocations are always subject to change and demand for the vaccine, and demand for the vaccine will be much greater than the supply for some time.
The vaccines for people in Phase 1A began in December. It includes those in long-term care facilities. Not all residents in these facilities are choosing to take the vaccine, but the governor says about 90% are. As to the long-term care facility workers turning down the vaccine,
the rate has been a little bit lower among staff during the first phase. That averages about 50%.
When the governor is asked if a condition of employment at a long-term facility should require being vaccinated against COVID-19, she defers the question to Iowa Department of Human Services Director Kelly Garcia.
Right now, we are not making it a condition of employment, and that really is to give everyone an opportunity to make the choice. We worked with our legal counsel over the summer contemplating this decision. It's one that I think all employers are having to face. We have other ways that we will certainly incent individuals taking it in our state-operated facilities, and we are very much posting all of that information online so you can see very clearly what our acceptance rate looks like. Education is really key to this. We want to make sure our employees feel comfortable and have all of the material available at their fingertips to make a decision that's best for them. And I think we wait, we see exactly what this looks like for our facilities. Of course, safety for our residents and our employees is always at the forefront of our minds. And we'll consider what options look like moving forward once we have those data points.
For most Iowans wanting a vaccination, there are no immediate answers as to when they can begin receiving their shots. The executive director of the Iowa Pharmacy Association, Lindsay Lidwug, says most pharmacies don't know yet and are being flooded with inquiries.
Pharmacies are regularly updating their phone messages, social media sites, and web pages to keep their patients and community as informed and educated as possible on the vaccine status in their county and in their pharmacy.
In the state's largest county, a vaccination can be arranged by contacting the Polk County Public Health Department. The county's health department director, Helen Eddy, says for the week of January 25th, the county was allocated 7,075 total doses.
At this time, the demand for the COVID-19 vaccine far exceeds our supply. Appointments are based upon available vaccine supply. We do not make appointments without having a shot attached to them. This process will take some time, but we will not stop until everyone who wishes to be vaccinated is vaccinated.
Eddie says there are around 61,000 people over the age of 65 in Polk County. And these people, along with those in Phase 1B's Tier 1, which includes teachers, are eligible. As of January 27th, there have been 209,575 vaccine doses administered across the state of Iowa. That includes 40,331 people who've gotten both doses. There are two manufacturers of the vaccine. The Pfizer vaccine is for ages 16 or older, but Moderna's vaccine is for ages 18 and older. Once the supply of vaccines increases, the demand could be difficult to manage.
I'm Representative Stephen Bradley, and I would like everybody to introduce themselves.
At the Capitol, in a House Human Resources subcommittee, Republican Representative Stephen Bradley chairs a three-member panel that would allow dentists to administer COVID-19 vaccines.
Let's just go around. We got a lot of people.
It's being shared virtually, but only people physically present at the Capitol are allowed to speak during a House subcommittee. One of the lobbyists in the room is Charlotte Eby, representing the Association of Dental Support Organizations.
We know our state faces a critical juncture with the pandemic, and dentists are uniquely positioned with their training and expertise to help pitch in here.
Dentists are located across the state, including rural areas where there may be a small number of pharmacies.
Our members believe dentists have a proven track record and have locations around the state to deliver vaccinations to those who need it. Dentists routinely administer injections and anesthesia and are specifically trained to watch for adverse reactions.
An adverse reaction to a vaccine is when a patient displays one of many symptoms that could be respiratory distress, vomiting, chest pain, or physically collapsing. There is a system called Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, or VAERS. Anyone can report an incident to VAERS if they believe an adverse reaction is caused by a vaccination.
I'm Bree Johnson. I'm with Informed Choice Iowa as well.
Informed Choice Iowa often comes to the Capitol to voice opposition to vaccination requirements. This is the same group that organized a rally at the Capitol at the beginning of the legislative session to oppose the wearing of masks. There is no mask mandate at the Capitol, nor is there a mandate to be vaccinated for COVID-19. Bree Johnson says Informed Choice Iowa opposes this bill.
We feel that just because there is an increased opportunity for people to receive that, it doesn't mean that the quality of care is going to be guaranteed to be better or more enhanced for them.
Johnson says the dentist may not have enough medical history for their patients like a family doctor may. Chandra Burke lobbies for Informed Choice Iowa and questions how a dentist administering a vaccine will be documented.
How is the patient's record going to be completed? This is the sort of thing that leads to not continuity of care. Dental assistants and dentists are not trained to identify, is this a seizure? Is this an anaphylactic reaction? That is something that
I disagree with that, but go keep going.
Representative Bradley is a dentist and interrupts Burke.
That's something that nurses, medical assistants, and doctors, DOs, and MDs are trained to do.
What are you calling us?
You're dentists.
We're doctors too. Okay, but that's fine. Keep going.
Why does our degree say Doctor of Dental Surgery?
That's Republican Representative Tom Jennery, who is also a dentist and a panelist on this subcommittee.
That's what you've specialized in, though.
Yeah. So I think but it does say doctor.
Correct, but you also don't have the patient's medical chart in front of them to see do they have a history of this.
We go through all of that. But that's fine. Just keep going. We'll give you enough. I'll give you 30 more seconds.
The concern lies in that there's not going to be a continuity of care. And is everything going to be checked or are things going to get missed? This is something that should remain within the scope of the doctor's office.
Bills at the Iowa legislature can be authored by departments. This bill is from the Iowa Dental Board. Their lobbyist is Jill Stuker.
We have heard from dentists who potentially would not only be interested in pursuing this in their office, but also simply to volunteer at a public health clinic. They're currently not permitted to do so. And, you know, it's voluntary, right? So the dentist can opt out of it.
The bill doesn't make it mandatory for any dentist to administer COVID-19 shots. For those that want to, they need to complete at least 4 hours of training. They also would have to report the immunization to the Iowa Health Network or the statewide immunization registry. In addition to COVID-19 shots, the bill would allow a dentist to give a flu shot. The lobbyist of the Iowa Medical Society, Dennis Tibben, says they support dentists giving a flu shot, but not for COVID-19.
I think it's no surprise to anyone around this room. None of us are satisfied with the rollout of the COVID vaccine so far. But I would point out that as of last week, there are 2,400 entities that are enrolled and approved to provide the COVID-19 vaccine here in the state of Iowa. That's entities from Unity Point being a single entity all the way down to a single physician office. That's community pharmacies, that's a number of other traditional vaccine providers. The vast majority of those folks are not currently administering the COVID-19 vaccine. That's for a number of reasons, first and foremost being that our state doesn't have a large supply coming from the feds. So it's not necessarily a case that we don't have enough folks to administer the vaccine, it's that we don't have enough vaccines. We also have a lot of our independent shops out there who are unable to get their staff fully vaccinated still. So before they stand up a vaccine clinic, they want to make sure themselves and their staff are protected.
Democratic Representative John Forbes sits in on this subcommittee, although he is not a member of its panel. It's not unusual for other legislators to attend a subcommittee like this to offer input. Representative Forbes owns a pharmacy in Urbandale and says his office won't be able to meet the demand.
If we have dentists that want to do it, now, there's not going to be any mandate to require them to do it, but they have to. If they want to provide this service to their patients and other people coming into their practices, we should open that up and allow them to at least offer it to patients here in the state of Iowa.
The Iowa Dental Association is registered as undecided on this bill. One of their lobbyists is Josh Carpenter.
Right now, our membership is currently split on the issue of whether they want to administer vaccines or not, so we are mirroring that right now with our undecided.
Like with so many House subcommittees that are available as a video stream, the audio can be difficult to understand. Josh Carpenter is saying to this subcommittee, the membership of the Iowa Dental Association is split on the issue of whether or not they want to administer the vaccine. After hearing from people gathered in the room, subcommittee panelist Republican Representative Tom Jennery addresses concerns raised about dentists being able to recognize an adverse reaction to a vaccine.
Well, we get training in dental school to recognize adverse reactions, whether it's a heart attack, a stroke, a reaction to epinephrine or something like that. And then we have continuing education all the time, probably at least once a year, on medical emergencies in the dental office.
The chair of the panel, Representative Stephen Bradley, says dentists in other states are already giving COVID-19 shots.
So I've talked to other dentists in other states. As a matter of fact, in 18 other states, they can do this, okay? And part of their training is the adverse reactions.
At the conclusion of most subcommittees, it's known whether or not a bill will advance. In this case, it only takes two panelists to sign it.
We're going to take this under advisement. We have a lot of things to talk about. We're not going to make the decision today. And we appreciate everybody coming. Okay?
Thank you very much.
If this subcommittee signs off on the bill, it will need to happen before the full committee considers it. That has to happen before the first full week of March. This is when a legislative deadline known as the funnel requires bills to have passed out of most full committees. This is the legislative podcast Under the Golden Dome. I'm John Pimble.
Under the Golden Dome is a production of Iowa Public Radio, a statewide network powered by its listeners. Become a member today to support the reporting you hear on this podcast at iowapublicradio.org/donate.
Under the Golden Dome is supported by Cultivating Compassion, the Dr. Richard Deming Foundation, and by the Iowa Bankers Association. Small businesses are the backbone of Iowa communities, and they're backed by Iowa banks. See how banks are helping small businesses see a stronger tomorrow at iowabankers.com.
Welcome, everyone. As part of this subcommittee, this is the Return to Learn Bill.
Republican Senator Brad Zahn is chairing a three-person panel education subcommittee. No guests can attend a Senate subcommittee in person, but anyone can participate virtually with the Zoom video conferencing system.
If you would like to speak, please indicate to me by raising your hand that's on your Zoom screen.
Since the spring, Iowa's schools have gone from being closed to offering courses online due to the pandemic. In recent months, some schools have offered a hybrid learning model, which is a mix of on- and off-site instruction. Governor Reynolds stated to legislators this year that she wants all schools to provide an option for 100% in-person learning.
Thank you. I'm Eli Parencevich. I'm an infectious disease physician and epidemiologist in Iowa City and a parent of two children in public schools.
Eli Parencevich testifies against the 100% in-person learning.
So what do we know about children, COVID, and schools? This has evolved a lot over the past year since the virus first appeared. We now know that kids, apart from the very youngest, spread it just as easily as adults and are getting infected equally as adults. We know in Iowa, at least 25,000 kids have been infected and were drastically under testing because they don't develop as many symptoms. So fortunately, kids aren't getting sick, but they're spreading the virus to high-risk parents and grandparents and teachers.
Leslie Carpenter, representing Iowa Mental Health Advocacy, also opposes. She says a school should be able to make a decision that takes into consideration the region's positivity rate of virus infection.
I think that mandating it from the state down is not necessarily the best decision, and it's definitely one where if I were a lawmaker, I wouldn't want to be putting my head on the pillow at night knowing that my decision might affect somebody and cause them to become sick or worse, die.
This bill advances from the subcommittee and a few hours later comes before the full Senate Education Committee.
One thing that we know is that the waiver process is still in place in this bill.
Senator Brad Zahn says schools that are still offering hybrid or online can continue to do so, but must also provide the option for full in-person learning.
Unfortunately, the reason why we're doing this bill is there's a few school districts that refuse to give that option to their kids. 16, to be exact, in the state of Iowa.
A few days later, Senator Zahn floor manages the bill before the full Senate. He represents one of the suburban areas near Des Moines and talks about his last campaign.
As I door knocked this last fall, one thing that I heard from the parents in some of the school districts that I represent, that they'd sure love to get their kids back in the classroom. Why is that important? Well, as you know, there's a lot of dual income parents that are out there. A lot of parents were forced to, or not forced, but were asked to work from home during the COVID crisis. And it's certainly put a lot of parents in a bind, and it's changed how they function as a family. What this bill does here is it just is giving the school districts and actually telling the school districts, I want to rephrase that, that they need to offer a five-day in-school instruction, as well as parents still have the option to do 100% online.
Democratic Senator Liz Mathis says she agrees that kids should be back in school.
You are right when you say kids belong in school. You really are. Absolutely. But these are very different times. Senator Zahn, there's a timing problem here. The lack of available vaccines. We heard from DHS Director Kelly Garcia say not only the eligible participants in 1B, 1A, and 1B, but now, in 1B, we have 500,000 more people that are 65 and up.
School teachers are part of the new vaccination plan, Phase 1B. Democratic Senator Herman Kornbach offers an amendment that considers the time it takes to vaccinate teachers.
Amendment S-3003 would simply delay the implementation of this in-person requirement until all of our teachers and other school staff have had the opportunity to get vaccinated against this deadly plague. You know, before we overrule local control and local safety policy and force schools to accept unlimited numbers of in-person students, we really have to make sure that the teachers and staff who have sacrificed so much over the last 12 months are protected as best we can against further risk.
This amendment is defeated. Debate in the Senate lasts about an hour. Senator Bradzon is the only Republican to speak for the bill.
There's nothing more local than allowing parents to decide what's in the best interest of their kids. And we are hurting our kids for not allowing them the option to be in school, not to mention all the social benefits.
The bill passes the Senate on party lines. Later that evening, the House takes up the same bill. It's floor managed by Republican Representative Phil Thompson.
As our schools reopen this fall, the learning experiences for our children have not been equitable. While most students were afforded the opportunity to go back to class full-time and in-person, many were not. That has left them and their parents at a significant disadvantage. National and local studies, as well as data from the fall semester, which we're continuing to collect and monitor, shows two trends. That keeping children out of the classroom has resulted in significant learning loss, and that in-person learning environments have not significantly contributed to community coronavirus transmission.
House Democrats offer amendments. One is from Representative Sue Cahill. It says 100% is only allowed if a school follows guidelines issued by the Centers for Disease and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to prevent or contain the spread of COVID-19.
These are the guidelines put out by the CDC for reopening schools to have students back in classrooms for their instruction. These are the ways to best prevent illness. Stay at least 6 feet away from others whenever possible. Cover your mouth and nose with a mask.
Floor manager Representative Thompson says such an amendment isn't enforceable, and he has confidence in the schools to keep students safe.
Most of my concern is with the implementation of it, who enforces it, who's charged with enforcing it, and really, what are the penalties? I do not believe this is a necessary amendment, as schools are, in fact, working extremely hard to comply with CDC and IDPH guidelines.
IDPH is the Iowa Department of Public Health. This amendment and all other Democratic amendments fail. The bill requires in-person learning to begin 2 weeks after it is signed into law. The debate happens on a Thursday evening, the last day chambers typically meet during the week. Democratic Representative Sharon Steckman speaks against the bill.
And I think this bill is being rushed through so the governor can put her signature on it tomorrow. And then we're giving schools 2 weeks to implement this. This bill stands, as it stands, has nothing in it to help schools or staff. Absolutely nothing. It simply tells schools to get back to work full-time, ASAP, 2 weeks. No mention of the CDC recommendations, such as improved ventilation systems, wearing masks. It doesn't even mention social distancing in the bill.
Democratic Representative Christina Buchanan says she thinks this bill will ultimately be counterproductive for students.
You know, at the beginning of this pandemic, the governor said one size does not fit all with the schools. And now there has been an abrupt about face. And I think the truth is that one size does not fit all. And I think that without the vaccinations, without the other safety protocols in place, without guaranteeing any of that, I think that this is just a really irresponsible bill, and I think it's actually going to end up doing exactly what we don't want.
This bill only applies to this school year and expires on June 30th. As Representative Thompson delivers the bill's closing remarks, he says school classrooms provide more than quality academic curriculum.
In-person learning provides social support, mental health support, nutritious meals, and many other benefits that parents weigh in choosing the education method that works best for their children. Senate File 160 aims to accomplish one main goal, to give parents a seat at the table in making the best choice for their kids' education. In-person learning works best for many of our students, full-time and all day. It needs to be an option for all families. Senate File 160 ensures that Iowa schools are serving the needs of all students and families.
The bill passes Thursday evening. The next morning in the Capitol's rotunda, Governor Kim Reynolds holds a bill signing event.
Today, I am so pleased to sign Senate File 160, a bill that requires school districts to provide an opportunity for parents to select full-time in-person instruction unless explicitly waived in a disaster proclamation. Any school not currently offering full-time in-person learning must notify parents of this additional option and allow them 5 days to select their learning model of choice. The in-person requirements will go into effect February 15th. The bill does not deny any family the option to keep their children home for 100% remote learning, nor does it prevent schools from offering a hybrid model.
After her speech, the governor moves to a small table. She is surrounded by a dozen adults, which includes lawmakers. Two children are standing a few feet away from her. Everyone is wearing a mask except for the governor as she signs the bill with mini pens. She shakes hands with the people gathered, then gives out pens she used to sign the bill. The House and Senate have passed a constitutional amendment that adds language about gun rights to the state constitution. 44 states have some form of the Second Amendment in their constitution, but few have what's known as strict scrutiny language attached to it. Republican Senator Zach Whiting supports the resolution.
All strict scrutiny is, it's not some scary ethereal phrase. All it is a standard of review. It tells our courts how, the state courts in Iowa, how to review laws that infringe on the right to keep and bear arms when they are challenged in the courts.
Democratic Senator Zach Walls says the strict scrutiny language could allow courts to strike existing gun laws.
This is about putting a loophole in Iowa law that is going to allow unelected judges to strike down laws passed by this legislature.
This resolution also passed in the last General Assembly and will be on the ballot in 2022 for voters to decide whether it becomes an amendment to Iowa's Constitution. This is the weekly podcast Under the Golden Dome. This episode had help, as always, from Iowa Public Radio Statehouse reporter Katerina Sestarik. She has stories about the many legislative issues on our website, iowapublicradio.org. Also, Grant Gerlach and Natalie Krebs chipped in this week as well. Additional help comes from the newly formed Iowa Capitol Press Association. It contains the many reporters covering this year's legislative session. Thanks to Iowa Public Radio News Director Michael Leland for script editing. Digital support comes from Matt Searin and Lindsay Moon. This is the third of what is likely to be 15 weekly episodes for 2021, so make sure you are subscribed to this podcast on your various podcast listening programs. I'm John Pimble. Under the Golden Dome is a production of Iowa Public Radio.